You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we're not a riot, you're a fucking riot. I'm your host, Justin Emlezeski, and it's been a while, so much to the point that I know you're as unprepared for this impromptu season premiere as I am. I wasn't planning to do an episode until about February, probably the beginning of February was when I was going to premiere this new season, but then holy shit, America. So I had to say something. And it's not, you know, it's not just the one thing that happened. It's the entire conversation that's going on right now. So this episode is going to be a solo episode. There probably won't be one that follows it up the next week. In fact, I know there won't be one that follows it up the next week. So this is a solo episode. And it's basically just me getting some stuff off my chest in regards to everything that's going on right now. Because holy shit, America. Holy shit. And as always, I'd like to thank you all who support us on Locals and on Patreon. Although, is that controversial right now to even say that? Locals and Patreon, to have two different ones? Do we run the risk of being canceled, being on Locals at all? I don't know. But we're on those two separate platforms. Locals, you can support someone, a content creator per month, Patreon per piece of content. So those Locals supporters who are still giving during the month of January, you actually get content. So I'm doing right by you. And the Patreon supporters, that's a little extra. Appreciate the support per episode. You can go to either, just go to themidside.com/locals or themidside.com/Patreon. So let's get into it. Let's get into the things that are bothering Justin to start the year 2021. And I won't go into the whole year thing. I did it at the end of last year. I have seen less of it. There was that one meme, the one fucking meme with the Joker on the stairs with Pennywise, right? The Joaquin Phoenix Joker on the stair with Pennywise, and it's 2022 showing 2021 around. No. This is all, years are arbitrary. This is all the result of our ideas. This is a result of the way we act, the way we handle ourselves, the way we act on a daily basis. And that's sort of where I'm going with all of this overall. All of this sort of connects in a way, and it's going to culminate with the main reason that I wanted to record this episode. So the first thing I want to talk about was something I saw recently on Twitter in regards to Zack Snyder and the Zack Snyder fandom. And I use the word fandom very intentionally here, because there's a tweet going around that says, are there any Snyder or Ben Affleck fans before DCEU? And then there's a picture of Zack Snyder, and there's a picture of Ben Affleck. Now, before I get into the major fucking problem with this, right? I'm going to just do the obvious one. Were there any Ben Affleck fans before DCEU? Before the DCEU? The tweet does not use the article "the." Perhaps the tweet is written by someone who English is not their first language. Are there any Ben Affleck fans before he was Batman? Are you a fucking idiot? Like, this just shows how fucking narcissistic this tweet is. Yeah, there were no Ben Affleck fans before the DCEU. He didn't fucking win an Oscar before he was Batman. Fucking, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? Ben Affleck. So that's a whole different discussion, right? Just we're going to ignore the Ben Affleck part of that tweet. We're going to, because it's so the Ben Affleck part of the tweet is so fucking dumb. It doesn't even deserve acknowledgement. But the second part does. Right? Are there any Zack Snyder fans before the DCU? So, you know, Man of Steel came out in 2013. Zack Snyder made Dawn of the Dead in 2004 and 300 in 2005, or released them, right? So he would have made them prior to that, released them, right? And then he had Watchmen and Legends of Ga'Hoole and Sucker Punch all before Man of Steel. So, you know, we have three, I'm trying to do math in my head. This is how bad I am at math. Dawn of the Dead, 300, Watchmen, Legends of Ga'Hoole, and Sucker Punch. So that's five movies before Man of Steel. And if Man of Steel was in 2013 and Dawn of the Dead was in 2004, that's 9 years, right? I'll say 8 years optimistically, right? I'll say 8 years because I first saw 300, right, in 2005. Not a lot of people saw Dawn of the Dead, but many, many people saw 300. That changed the culture, right? That changed action movies. That changed a lot. So we'll use that as a cutoff. Now, I took a screenshot and of this tweet, and there's 192 retweets and 983 likes at the time that I took the screenshot. There's a whole bunch of comments. Obviously, some of the retweets are quote tweets, so those are comments. And there's a lot of people saying they've been a Zack Snyder fan since 300 or Dawn of the Dead. So for 8 years or for 9 years, they've been a Zack Snyder fan. Now, first of all, a lot of these people saying this have profiles that are completely dedicated to the DCEU, and they have avatars that are DCEU, and that's what they're all about. And then Alex Lynch, the founder of the Zack Snyder Bible, had a tweet where he said, if you were all fans of Zack Snyder, where were you in 2010 when Sucker Punch bombed at the box office? Right? Fair question. Right? Because Batman vs. Superman made almost $900 million. Right? Man of Steel made what? Like $700 million? So where were these people? Right? Even Watchmen, right? Watchmen didn't even make anywhere close to either of those. So where were these people? Right? Where were all these supposed fans? And that's really what I have the problem with, and that's really why this bugs me so much. Are there any Zack Snyder fans before the DCEU? The use of the word fan here. Fan. You're not fucking Snyder fans. These tweets saying, oh, I liked Dawn of the Dead. I liked 300. Okay, I'm glad you liked those movies. I will be generous with you. I believe you that you liked those movies. I believe you that you liked those movies. But liking a movie does not make you a fan of a director. It doesn't. Now, of course, you're going to ask me, what's a fan? What's a fan? Oh, you're gatekeeping being a fan. Okay. Yes. Because sometimes gatekeeping matters. It matters because there are definitions of things. And if you let anybody, and this is where this is going to come around again at the end of this episode, if you let anybody say anything they want, you change the definition of things. And that's what's going on here. They're changing the definition of fan, and they're changing the definition of fan because these people who use Zack Snyder to make themselves feel superior to other people want to have credibility. And they want to have the credibility of saying they're a Zack Snyder fan when they aren't really. What they are is they're DC fans, and they want to feel superior to Marvel fans. They want to feel superior to other types of movie fans. And so they latch on to this idea that Zack Snyder is better than all the other directors, which he is. You're not going to get an argument here in the midside. You know I love Zack Snyder. And they latch on to that so that they can feel superior. But they're not really a fan, or they became a fan if they are a fan, which they very well could be now. They became a fan with Man of Steel, with Batman vs. Superman. That's when they became a fan. But they didn't become a fan with 300. They didn't become a fan with Dawn of the Dead. I'll tell you, I didn't even really become a fan with 300, I would say. I would say that I didn't really become a fan with 300. Why did I not become a fan? Well, let's look into what a fan is, okay? Where does the word fan come from? Where does the word fan come from? The word fan comes from the word fanatic. What is a fanatic? A fanatic is someone who is obsessed with something. It's all they think about. It's all they care about. Now, I would say that being a fanatic is unhealthy, which is probably why we created the shortened version fan, because there's a line between a fan and a fanatic, right? There's a line between liking something and being a fan, and being a fan and a fanatic. Let me give you an example before we delve deeper into this whole fan thing of liking someone or liking something and not being a fan of it, okay? I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Drew Brees. Okay, they're good quarterbacks. They're enjoyable to watch. But I am not a fan of either. I'm not a fan of either. It's not like I go out of my way to think about Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. You know, when they come up in conversation and someone asks me a question, I might have an opinion on it. I'm like, oh yeah, I enjoy Patrick Mahomes. I hope he does well. And I don't hate Chiefs fans. Same thing with Saints fans. The only fucking Drew Brees fan that I ever hated was the one who said that they beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. So if they beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, then Drew Brees would be the GOAT. It was a fucking Uber driver Christine and I had when we were in New Orleans. I was like, are you kidding me? That was nice to him because he didn't mean anything mean by it. But that's the only Saints fan that's kind of annoyed the shit out of me, right? You know, I like the Chiefs. I like the Saints. I'm not fans of the Chiefs and the Saints, but I like them. I like them because they play good football and, you know, I'm a football fan. See how that works? So you can like things without being a fan. So all these people replying, oh, I like 300. I'm a fan of Zack Snyder. I liked Dawn of the Dead. I was a fan of Zack Snyder. Okay, yes, you liked those movies, and you may have liked Zack Snyder, but that didn't make you a fan because you weren't a fanatic. You weren't obsessed. But that's, again, that's too far of a line. Well, I'm gonna read the definition from Google of a fan. A person who has a strong interest in or admiration for a particular person or thing. And that's the difference, right? When I talk about Drew Brees, when I talk about Patrick Mahomes, I don't have a strong interest or admiration in or for either of them. Admiration, that line's a little blurry, but I couple that with the strong interest. It's the idea of this very strong feeling, right? It's the same thing as there are any number of sort of like, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the guy who did Onward and he was involved in Soul. I like his work. Those were two of the best movies of 2020. I wouldn't particularly call myself a fan of him. I don't know a lot about him. I don't have a strong interest in admiration for him, a strong interest or admiration. It's the same thing with people saying that. It's they need to take these identities on to be performative, to be performative. And this is a large outcome of social media. It's a large outcome of social media. So that minor thing was annoying me because it's connecting to everything that's been going on. And it's connecting to what was really the cause of the impetus for me to... It's funny to say the cause of the impetus because impetus is a type of cause. So the cause of the cause. We're going, it's causes all the way down here, right? It's turtles all the way down here. The cause of the impetus of me recording this episode... So this is sort of like a harsh transition here, but you see how I transition that very smoothly, I think, in my opinion, is the fucking riot. The riot on the Capitol, okay? What is there to say about the riot on the Capitol? What is there to say without being forced to take a side? What is there to say that won't get me deplatformed right now, which is where this is really going, right? Obviously, what had happened was fucking insane. It was fucking insane. The idea that people stormed the Capitol building while they were certifying the election because they believed the election was fraudulent. They believed there was fraud during the election. Look, I accept the fact that they believe there was fraud. I accept the fact that they have a right to protest that there was fraud. But breaking into the Capitol and then doing the things they were doing, it's not even really that they broke in. Oh, yeah, that's terrible enough as it is, right? Like the fact that somebody broke into the Capitol of the United States is like, holy shit, they broke into the Capitol. And if you see the videos, there's all the fact that the security force was overwhelmed. And then there's all questions about, like, should Trump have told them to use more force? Like, who is in charge of that? It was Trump who was in charge of that. Why didn't he tell them to use more force? Right? There are all these questions about Donald Trump and what he did and why it happened and all those things. But then they get in there and it becomes performative, right? The fucking guy who steals Nancy Pelosi's pedestal. That's what's always gonna stick out to me. Right, that fucking picture, the guy who looks like Sean White, he's wearing the winter hat, and he's carrying the podium, the pedestal, the podium. He's fucking carrying that. And he looks happy as shit. He looks happy as shit. You know he's going to be arrested, right? In fact, he was arrested, and of course he's from Florida, right? But I think it's funny. I'm not angry about it. I think it's funny. But he's happy as shit. He's like, hey, look at me. I'm taking the podium. That's how you're going to stop the election? That's how you're going to stop the election? That's how you're going to stop the election? You're going to steal the podium? And then there was the guy who went in there and he sat at Pelosi's desk and he took pictures of her email and he took her mail. And then there's video of him bragging about taking the mail. Right? This is all performative. This is all performative. It's all performative because it's not really about accomplishing any sort of goal. In the same sense that the protests, the riots, whatever the fuck you want to call them. And that's the thing here, right? When we talk about these large groups of people, these large groups, we say MAGA, right? The Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. And we talk about, oh, BLM, Black Lives Matter, rioted in all of these different cities, right? I mean, I don't even want to name one specific city because holy shit, all the cities. I don't want to make it seem like, and I don't think any of us should make it seem like, and this is where the performative thing comes in, that it's only any one mob, any one singular group of people. I think in all of them, there were peaceful people who went there just to protest, right? And I think there were people who got more violent and more aggressive. Even look at the people going into the Capitol. I think there were people who went in just to go in. I'm not saying I would have gone in, but if you're fucking in D.C. and you're protesting and everyone starts going into the Capitol, you're like, I guess I'll fucking go into the Capitol, right? I mean, everyone's there. Everyone's doing it. Like, it seems pretty innocuous just to walk into a building, especially if it's supposed to be a publicly owned building, right? It's supposed to be a publicly owned building. You can see why people would just walk into it. And it's the same thing with people who might have gotten swept up in the rioting for BLM, right? In the rioting against police brutality. Bunch of people are throwing bricks in a window. You go, I want to throw a brick at a window. What are the odds I get caught? What are the odds I'm the one who gets caught? So they throw a brick at a window. So I don't want to make a generalization here about all the people. I don't want to make it seem like all the people were insurrectionists and all the people were terrorists, just like I don't want to make it seem like all the people were rioting and all the people were terrorists who were participating in BLM. And I don't want to make it seem like either side doesn't have good points, right? Both of them are, you know, just talk about a band I hate, Raging Against the Machine. On one hand, there's one side is saying, fuck you using this militaristic police power to fucking kill people. That's a fucking legitimate concern. And on the other side, you have people saying, you know, fuck you for using the system that we're largely blind to mess with the results of what should be a free and open system. Shouldn't we see how the votes are cast? Why is there not a better system for the votes being cast? Why is there not a better system for all of us monitoring it? Why is it all shrouded? And then why do we need to get our results through the mainstream media, especially with all these digital platforms right now? So both sides have a point. And I'm sure there were people there rashly protesting on both sides of all of these things, right? So I don't want to paint these groups homogeneously. But the people who went in, and they ran in and they were trying to be violent, and they were trying to stop the election. How the fuck is that going to stop the election? Like, are you serious? You really think that's what's going to stop the election? Oh, if we run into the Congress, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with the riots. Is that really going to stop police brutality? When we're talking about things that are, quote unquote, systemic. If there's corruption in the elections, that's as systemic as police brutality. In fact, it comes from the same sources. It comes from the fact that the people in authority have all the power and we don't have the power. So what it's not people actually trying to, I mean, they would feel like, let me say it this way. They feel like they're trying to fight back, but that's the point. It's about the feeling. It's about the emotionalism. These are all results of emotionalism, you know, combine it with the fact that everyone's been locked down for fucks ever, right? Everyone is aware on an animal, emotional, visceral, experiential level that we don't have the power. That we've abdicated the power. We've given up the power. Because no one's holding us in our houses at gunpoint. but we let them tell us to stay inside. We let them tell us to wear a mask. We let them tell us, oh, okay, you know, we'll give you $600, $1,800 total, so we can give all this fucking money to all these other countries and corporations, right? Corporatism at its finest. We say that's okay. We let ourselves be bought off for $600. I'm no different. I was like, okay, give me $600, I'll buy a 75-inch TV. Okay. I leverage my future against a 75-inch TV. I'm probably a hypocrite on that point. But what am I supposed to do at that point? Record this podcast, have these conversations, take the job I had, right? And this is the point I'm building to. I'm building to that point. We'll get there in a moment because it folds into what the cultural reaction to all of this was. So I don't look at this and I don't look at what happened in the Capitol and think, oh my God, terrorism, attempted insurrection. I don't believe any of that. I think it was largely impotent is the word I was looking for. I was literally thinking of like a blue pill. It's largely impotent to me. I don't think they were really going to accomplish anything. I think Trump was afraid of hurting his supporters and hurting his support. And what I mean by that is he knew those were his supporters running in, so he didn't want to have the force be used against them. I don't mean in the Star Wars sense. I mean, have them say, oh, we're going to shoot people. And, you know, the tragedy of the five people who died amongst all of this, that's the real tragedy, right? The loss of life here. And then the loss of life that will happen as a result of all this and the loss of quality of life that will happen to all this. So I saw that as largely an impotent thing, which is why I find the picture of the Shaun White guy from Florida carrying the podium to be the most representative picture. That's why I find it so fucking funny, because that's to me what it was. This isn't 9/11. Like, people are comparing it to 9/11. Like, oh my God, 9/11. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they fucking flew planes into towers and killed 3,000 people. Okay? They took down two fucking skyscrapers. They took down two fucking skyscrapers. They killed 3,000 people. They fucking flew a plane into the Pentagon. And then the other one, you know, all those people who stopped it, you know, thank them, right? Be thankful to them. Think of how amazingly heroic that was for them to be able to have that assessment of their values and realize, to protect the country I love and the people I love, I need to crash this plane right now. Not that they necessarily thought they were going to die, but that's the point. They weren't worried about their own safety because their values mattered more. Those people were heroic, right? That's 9/11. This is not 9/11. What's the lasting effects of this in our culture? What's the lasting effects of this? They had to... In the Capitol, right? Let's talk about in the Capitol first. They had to take the feces off the wall. You want any more evidence that they're just acting like animals because of emotionalism and because of the performative nature of social media, the narcissism that social media creates? And if you're doing the mid-side drinking game, which would be super ironic if there was a mid-side drinking game, you just drank because I finally said narcissism. If you need any more proof of that, fucking feces on the wall. Right, it's not 9/11, okay? The problem is the after effects of it. The after effects of it. And I'm going to take a stance here that's sort of in the middle of things, okay? It's in the middle of things. Wow, the mid-side, in the middle of things. What a fucking shocker. Because I'm annoyed by both sides right now. Per the usual, I'm annoyed by both sides right now, and that includes fucking objectivists. I'm fucking sick of all of you. Yeah, I said it. I'm fucking sick of all of you. I'm sick of this, everyone. Everyone. Everyone right now, the sky is falling. Everyone rather than, oh my God. Oh my God, we need to figure out what to do. Everyone is like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Ah! I wish I could do a Zach Braff impersonation because I'd impersonate Chicken Little from the movie Little Chicken or whatever the fuck that animated movie he voiced Chicken Little in. That's what it is. Everyone, oh my God. Look. Can we just figure out what the fuck's going on? Can we figure out how to fix this? There's one simple way how to fix this, and that's what I've been focusing on. And I say simple, but it seems simple, but it's not. So what happened in response to everything that happened in the Capitol is the media and social media cashed in on the narrative they've been pushing for the past 4 years. Now, there's an argument whether they were trying to push these people to attempt a coup so they could do this. It depends on how maniacal they think you think they are. And, you know, there's also an argument about who are the followers and who are the leaders. The fucking discussion I always have, right? Who are the true believers and who are the puppet masters type deal? how many people pushing the narrative actually believe it, how many are have an agenda. There's legitimate questions here. I don't know how planned out this is. I don't want to claim to know how planned out all this is. All I know is what did happen. What happened was, after all of this, the narrative became that Trump was trying to plan a coup. He incited these people to violence. He intended, not just incited, he intended to incite these people to violence. And therefore, he was misusing all of these social media platforms, breaking their terms of services, and was permanently banned. And there's like a list of like eight of them that he was banned from, including Snapchat and TikTok. How long was TikTok waiting to ban Donald Trump? How fucking long have they been waiting? Right? Is this like 2 years where he's like, I'm going to ban TikTok. I'm going to force TikTok to be sold to Microsoft and out of China. Right? How long were they waiting? Do you think they had a fucking, like they had a party planned and they pushed a button and then like all the party favors came down and everything the day they could ban Donald Trump? And then the Snapchat. The fucking, why does Snapchat need to ban Donald Trump? Why do they fucking need to ban Donald Trump? Snapchat. Has he ever been on Snapchat? Has he used it to progress his narrative? I would imagine he must have a Snapchat account. But how much can he progress his narrative on there? Now, progressing his narrative on Facebook and Twitter is legitimate. He does progress that, right? He does progress his narrative on there. Now, we have the question about what is his narrative. Look, I truly believe he did incite the violence. Did he intend to? I don't know. It's the whole idea of a hate crime, right? That's part of the danger where this is headed, all headed towards. Did he intend to? I don't know. How do you prove that? How do you prove he intended to? So you can't. You just have to know he did. He did. So they banned him. And now the big discussion is, what should be done with big tech? Because we know beforehand that... We know beforehand, and when I say beforehand, I mean before all of this happened, that the right was already pushing to make it a utility, right? We saw we had net neutrality before where the left was trying to make the internet a utility. So this has already existed. So now we have the whole idea of, oh, you need to protect the First Amendment by making it so they can't ban people. What? And we have the whole idea of, oh, this is a resource that we all need, so we need to make it a utility. What? What? Okay, I'll get into all that, but I'm going to get into it from a different angle. Okay? And the angle is I saw somebody post a flowchart. A flowchart. And this flowchart pissed me the fuck off because there is one problem that is involved with all of this. And when I talk about all this, I mean deplatforming, right? Because that's the real issue at heart here, right? When I hear about all of the social media stuff, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not worried about the short-term consequences of social media being regulated or social media being nationalized. That's wrong, and I'll get into why it's wrong in a second, but I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is using that same principle and then applying it to, like, banks, right? And saying, oh, well, you have to nationalize a bank so they can't refuse service to anyone. Because I'm worried about the other side of it as well. I'm worried about, oh, if we let social media ban whoever they want, then why can't banks deplatform anyone they want? Right, they can say, I can't use your bank. So let me get into the flowchart because it's going to address all of that. So, hold on, I'm pulling up the image on my phone. Okay, got it. I had to scroll through my pictures there. I got the screenshot of, you know, are there any Snyder or Ben Affleck fans before DCEU? And then I swipe and there's my new profile picture up there, which I took a picture that was very yellow and I made it black and white. It looks really good, black and white. I'm really happy with that, and I made it my new social media profile picture because I'm changing my approach to social media based upon discussions I had in December with Daniel and Midsider Michael, but also changing it based upon everything that's going on with all this conversation. And then I was able to scroll to the image that I saved. Okay, so there's a question. It says at the top of the And by the way, whoever fucking designed this, your visuals aren't even fucking good. The way you visually laid out this graphic is fucking retarded, right? You should just have the question at the top center as that box. But they wanted to emphasize the no side, so they made that almost the focal of the focal point of attention on this graphic by making it larger and red. And it's the shape of a stop sign, whereas the opening question is a box. And then the yes is a small rotated box, a very small rotated box that's green. Just the visual design of this graphic sucks too. But that's not even the most distressing part, right? So the question is, did the U.S. government fine, censor, or imprison you for something you said? You can go yes or no. And the yes is, you know, just yes. And then you go down the flowchart, said your First Amendment rights have been violated. Okay, that's an important point. We need to everyone needs to understand that premise. The First Amendment covers public interactions. It covers the government. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, sorry about that. I record this on a MacBook and I connected FaceTime to my MacBook, and now of course it fucking, when someone tries to call me on my phone or FaceTime me on my phone, the FaceTime comes through on my MacBook. I need to get rid of that functionality. I apologize for that. So, yeah, that's an important premise. It covers public. It covers the government. The government cannot violate your free speech. Now, of course, we have some limits on that, right? We have the idea of you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. So if there are threats, or it causes violence or physical harm. There's also the idea of libel, right? You can't write things that are untrue about a public figure. So there are some limits on that free speech, which could come into play here, right, if this were a government organization. But it's not. And that goes to the second part. It says no. And this is the giant stop sign shaped part of it. No, but Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, etc. banned me and or people made fun of me. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that before. Reddit also, you know, Reddit, Snapchat, TikTok. Is it a fucking surprise Reddit banned Donald Trump? Didn't they ban, like, isn't he already de facto banned on Twitter? Or de jure banned? I think it would be de jure. Is he already de jure banned on Reddit? Isn't Donald Trump already de jure banned on Reddit? Like, is this just like it happened a while ago and they're like, yeah, we'll just throw our name on there for the publicity. Right. So no, but Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, etc. banned me and or people made fun of me. OK. I'm uncomfortable with adding the people made fun of me. Right. I mean, that happens off of the Internet, too. And that's where I'm going with this. And then the box at the end that has a conclusion is your First Amendment rights were not violated. OK, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Then it says, you are probably a dick. You're probably being a dick. Suck it up. Let me read that one more time. Your First Amendment rights were not violated. You're probably being a dick. Suck it up. What? This is the problem. This is the entire problem right here. This is what the fucking problem is right now. This is why our culture is going to shit. We are accepting this premise. This premise, you are probably being a dick, suck it up, is the problem. The fact that it's on this, I saw an objectivist share this, this is the fucking problem, okay? And it's ironic because this is why I like objectivism, and this is why I call myself objective-ish. It's both why I call myself objective-ish and why I don't call myself objectivist, right? Because I don't want to be associated with this stupidity, but also it's what I like about objectivism. And what I mean by it is this. I agree completely that we should not nationalize these private companies. I agree completely that they have a right to ban Donald Trump and anyone else the fuck they want for whatever fucking reason they want, rationally or irrationally. It's the same thing that I believe a store has a right to refuse service to anyone it wants. I believe a bank has a right to refuse service to anyone it wants. However, there are legitimate questions to be asked. Just because they can doesn't mean they should. And the legitimate questions to be asked are, does this help them do business and will it help them survive in the long term? Can versus should, right? The idea that I think drugs should be legal, but just because you can do them doesn't mean you should. I mean, fuck, right? Drugs aren't legal, but you can do them still, right? You can get drugs. Is there any drug you can't get? It may cause more violence. It may cost more money than it would if it were legal. But is there any drug you can't get? Does that mean you should get them? You should do them? That's the question of life, people. The question of life is, just because you can do something, does that mean you should? That's what being an adult is. A kid is basically, you go in the candy store and you're like, I'm going to eat all this candy because I can eat this candy. You see all the fucking candy. The candy man starts singing to you. He's like, the candy man can. And you're like, should the candy man though? No. As a kid, you say, yeah, the candy man should. The candy man can. Give me all the fucking candy. That's what the candy man can do. But then as an adult, you're like, should he though? Should he? My glucose level, you know, it's a little weird. I don't recover as quickly. You know, all that, the carbs, they go straight to my stomach. And then, you know, I got to get more dental work done. I get more cavities and root canals. And then eventually I got to get a whole bridge in there because the whole tooth falls apart. Right? That's the difference between an adult and a child. And right now we are all acting like fucking children. We're acting like fucking children because we're accepting the premise. And this is the premise that we are being manipulated with right now. This is the premise we're conceding. You were probably being a dick. Suck it up. Why? Why were you probably being a dick? Why? What's the definition of dick that we all agree on? When is it appropriate? You know, it says, they banned me and or people made fun of me. When is it appropriate for people to be made fun of? When is it appropriate for, when someone's a dick and made fun of, for them to be banned from programs, right? If you get in a fight in a store because somebody else incited you or somebody else attacked you, should you be kicked out of the store? Well, you were probably being a dick, right? So you should get thrown out. This is the problem, okay? This is the problem. The problem is, we are accepting the premise of whenever somebody says you were being a dick, people go, well, you were probably being a dick. Knock it off, dude. Why are you being a dick? You know, somebody says, man, that guy was mean to me. And everybody goes, why are you being mean to that guy? Right? We saw this with the Me Too movement. This was one of the major problems with the Me Too movement. He raped me. Well, why'd you rape her? You should apologize for raping her. What? First of all, well, I'm going to use a different term. Sexually assault. He sexually assaulted me. Why'd you sexually assault her? Apologize. First of all, what's the definition of sexually assault? Second of all, what's the evidence that he sexually assaulted her? Why are we just ending his entire life over that? Here's the thing. We've spent 4 years saying Donald Trump's a Nazi. Donald Trump's a white supremacist, right? And I don't like the fucking guy for the reason of what's just fucking happened. I think he's an emotionalist. I don't think he plans shit out. I think he needs to feel important. I think he needs to feel like the bad guy or the good guy. And I think he needs to feel like the best. And he just does shit that he thinks will make that work. And I think he gets away with it because he has a way of engendering himself to people. He's like, oh yeah, you're on my side, right? Like the whole Billy Bush tape, right? He made Billy Bush feel like he was on his side, so Billy Bush didn't want to sell him out. And also because people are generally benevolent, okay? That's part of the problem. Our own benevolence is being used against us here. For 4 years, it was, oh, Trump's a white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. To the point that actual white supremacists ran in there for him, and people believe he's a Nazi, and people believe Nazis were trying to take over. Because it went unchecked. It went unchecked. And I don't mean it went unchecked by the right, right? Because the right fought back against him, but the right were the people being accused. It's like if you're someone being accused of sexual assault, and you're like, I didn't do it. People are just going to be like, well, we're not going to believe him. He was accused, right? And it's not just the accusation. It's the continued repeating hammering of the message and treatment afterwards. Again, this goes back to innocent until proven guilty and the difference between the justice system and the way we interact as a society, okay? We have people who They will be cleared and considered innocent in the justice system and then treated as if they're guilty by everyone else. Treated as if they're guilty by everyone else. This is the manipulation technique, everyone. This is the manipulation technique. They want to use peer and social pressure to make us live in fear and to make us label everyone as a bad person so that, one, we don't want to be the bad person, and two, we're afraid that everyone else is going to call us the bad person. And they keep shifting the definition of bad, right? So they can control all this stuff. And corporations, they're in bed with the power structure, but also they're beholden to the people because of the market, right? They have both things right now because we have a mixed economy. So they're beholden to the power structure and they're beholden to the market. So because both of those ones using that system, right? The power structure is using the system of peer and social pressure, and the market is allowing them to do that. Because of that, they have to kowtow to it. They have to bow to it. You know, now we can get into the argument of how much are they driving it. Again, I don't know. I don't know where all the lines are of this, okay? I'm just talking generally. And this is what it comes down to with me with the whole social media thing, right? The whole social media thing. I agree 100%. Do not nationalize these things. They can do whatever they want. It's their companies. It's their companies, right? And they do. They offer us a value. But here's my thing, right? Is the value we're getting from them, is my 760 followers on Twitter worth what's happening in exchange? Is it worth that? So if people were to retreat, right? Because I think what will happen is if all this stuff gets desanitized and it gets nationalized and becomes shit, that people are going to retreat locally. They're going to retreat locally and the same issue is going to be on the table. And that's where the problem is going to have to be solved. And the problem has to be solved locally to begin with. Okay? It has to be solved locally to begin with. We're going to look at it and we're going to say, you know, what were we really getting from that? We are getting an amazing ability to give information back and forth very quickly. Why that information has to be our every fucking thought and our every fucking opinion? Well, that has to do with the whole social pressure thing, right? We want to be the good guy. We want to be the good guy, right? We're Ben on the docks, the others, and Lost. Well, we're the good guys, Michael. That's who we want to be. Even though, you know, Ben committed fucking genocide on the island. That's exactly 100% what it is. Ben and Lost. Benjamin Linus is who we all are right now, right? We're on the island. Oh, fuck. Jesus, I just blew my own fucking mind right now. Like, you just had that was a Justin JML epiphany you just heard. We're all fucking Benjamin Linus on Lost, okay? Oh, it's for the island, Michael. We have to protect the island. We have to protect the island. Then you do all this fucking awful shit, and nobody fucking likes you, but you did it for the island. How many times are we hearing that? Oh, we're doing it for America. We're doing it for the planet. And anyone who's not on our side is the bad guy, right? We're the good guys, Michael. And then you didn't say this, but the suppressed premise of calling yourself the good guys are that there are bad guys. I'm not saying there aren't good or bad guys, but what I'm saying is this labeling system, and this is what I'm talking about. Let's take this locally, right? When you're in a conversation locally, I'm not this way, so I would like to ask you all, are you performative? Now, there are times when I'm performative, right? If I'm in front of my class, there are elements of performance, right? In different groups, there are, you know, when I'm coaching, there are elements of performance. But those are a way to get the students to react a certain way, to get them to learn. And, you know, sometimes when you're in a big group and you want to be seen a certain way, there's a performance. But when you're having these real conversations, right? Remember when it used to be we don't talk about politics and religion, right? You talk about it with your really good friends. You talk about it with your spouse, right? But you don't talk about it in large groups. You don't talk about it at parties. Remember when it used to be like that? So when you're performative, you're not performative about those things, right? You're performative almost in the way of a stand-up comedian. I know someone's going to be like, a stand-up comedian's talking about politics. Shut up. You know the point I'm trying to make. So when you're locally and you're like that, you're not performative. You're honest. You're honest and you're another thing. You're generous. And what I mean by that is you want to hear, this is if you're healthy, right? I think we're going away from this, and I think this is what's destroying our society, and I think this is the biggest fucking danger right now. You're generous in that you want to hear what other people want to say. and you don't want to harm them for it. You don't give a fuck what they say, but you don't want to harm them for it. You know, there are some people who say really extreme things and then you shun them, but they're the outliers. Most people are within a spectrum that you're like, okay, I may disagree with them, but they're not fucking batshit insane. Because we understand that things that are said in the moment, things that happen in the real world, that immediacy lets us, it reminds us viscerally, experientially, it reminds us how fleeting life is and how fleeting these moments are and how fleeting these thoughts and these formulations of these thoughts when we communicate are. And we don't forget that. And when we're talking with people, when we're interacting with people, we remember that. And, you know, there are other issues here, right? There are issues where locally you're around people who tend to be like you, tend to have similar experiences to you, right? And then, you know, that's when the question of immigration comes in these big cities where you have a diversity of experiences. But even then, once you live there, you should theoretically in the same area have similar experiences. So there should be that same level of generosity. I would argue that language barriers and cultural barriers with lack of integration. And oh no, you just showed that you're a Nazi. Shut the fuck up. I want people to come here, right? What does it say in the statue? Send us your best and brightest, right? Kal-El, Clark Kent, send us your best and brightest and let's make them a part of our society and make our society even better, right? If you can come here, you can come where I live in Orlando, and you can keep the culture, and you can add the best things from your culture, fuck yeah, come here, right? I have no problem with people coming here. But what I'm saying is, when people don't make an effort to be generous, there's a problem. And what I'm saying is, naturally, when you have things in common, you have that generosity, right? You have that understanding. You have that acceptance. You have that understanding that most people are within that spectrum. And I'm saying when people come in and they don't make an effort to be the same and they don't make an effort to be generous, then you have that problem. And, the problem is the same thing, too, when other people come in who are trying and the people aren't being generous to the new people as well. You know, people very well, when I moved here, they could have been like, that guy's from fucking California. Fuck him. Right. When I moved to Florida, they could have been like that, but they were generous towards me. So I was generous towards them. And I'm in the process of integrating into this culture. It's a little easier for me because I'm from the Northeast. I'm from the East Coast and I was in South Carolina for a while. But there are different things here. It's taken me a while to get used to Crocs, I'll say that. A while to get used to sandals and socks. That's a concrete example. All of this is a long-winded way of saying that there is a difference between the physical and the digital space. And the problem with the digital spaces, and this is the problem right now, is that it's not real. Okay? It's not real. And worse than that, and this is where the narcissism thing comes in, it gives us this feeling that it's all about us, that it's all there for us, right? When you walk into a store, you have this awareness that this store was not made just for you, but made for a bunch of fucking people, right? You don't walk into a store and, like, they put you on a conveyor belt and they just show you the shit that you want. They just show you the shit that they anticipate you wanting. And then when someone tries to communicate with you, you're the only one who hears the audio. But guess what social media is? Guess what iPhones are? Guess what all this technology is? Especially as we're locked inside. That's exactly what it is. It's that conveyor belt. You go on to Twitter, you go on to Facebook, you go on to any of this. Even just take text messages, right? Who's in a group chat? I'm sure everyone's in a fucking group. Even I'm in a group chat nowadays, right? I fucking hate group chats. And this is one of the reasons I hate them. I hate them because I turn off the notifications for every fucking group chat because people have conversations that have nothing to fucking do with me. It's like being at a party and you have to hear every time everyone else at that party talks, even though it has nothing to fucking do with you. Part of the reason I hated parties in college is it's so fucking loud and people are talking about nonsense and the din doesn't stop until you walk outside. One of my best memories at Ithaca, one of the things I remember experiencing the most, and it was even the cold air was great at that point. You go inside somebody's apartment in the middle of winter and it's warm as fuck in there. It's like hell, right? It's like the heater's on and everyone's in all these fucking... They're not in warm clothes, though, because they take the warm clothes off and they're skimpily dressed and they're all fucking drinking, which, you know, that increases body heat. They're all packed in there together and they're talking a mile a minute because everyone wants everyone's attention, right? You got all these fucking hormones jumping around everywhere because it's college, right? The hormones are bouncing off the wall. It's so loud. It's so warm in there. And then when you're done and you're fed up and you walk outside, the scent, like, to me, the feeling of relief I associate with walking outside and that cold air hitting you. And you just cool down. And the silence and the cold air hit you at the same time. And you cool down and your body's like, okay, I'm okay now. And you actually for a minute are like, yeah, I like all this fucking 3 feet of snow on the ground around me that looks like a fucking dog shitting it and rolled around. Oh, I like all this black snow all around me, right? This snow that's rolled up in dirt. Oh, I like the fact that this is going to be on the ground and I'm not going to see green grass or the sun until fucking July. You almost like that for a minute because the sense of relief when you walk outside is just so powerful. And that's what it's like when I mute a group text. I mute a group because I don't want the notifications when you're talking about shit I don't care about. And that's the thing about a group text. It's on your phone. Right? You see all the other people talking, it's on your phone. Now, they are all seeing the same thing on their phone, but you're not aware of that. If you're standing at a party and people are all talking and they're not talking to you, you're like, oh yeah, nobody's talking to me. How many fucking emo pop punk songs, how many fucking movies have been made? You know, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I mean, these are just two movies off the top of my head, have been made about this experience of, oh man, nobody's talking to me at the party. They don't want anything to do with me. But if you get added to that group chat, you feel like you're the most fucking important person in that group chat. Why? Because even if they're not talking to you, all those messages are going to your phone like they're just for you. Who's the only person who looks at this screen? You. You're the only person who looks at the screen. It's right there for you on your personal device. So all of it feels like it's for you. And it's the same thing with, let's just take Twitter, for example, because that's the platform I'm very familiar with. Same thing with Twitter. All those tweets, who do they look like they're for? You. Or Instagram, right? This is part of why this simp culture has been created, right? Where guys are buying this fucking OnlyFans content, right? Let's use OnlyFans versus Playboy. There's another perfect example, okay? Or even Instagram versus Playboy. When you are on Instagram and a fucking average-looking woman makes a post about how sexy she is or trying to look good, right? I sound like I'm fucking 80 years old right now, but you get the point I'm making. You know, these half-naked pictures. And look, they're good at it nowadays, okay? I'm not going to lie. They're good at it. These girls, they know what they're doing. They're good at it. There's a bunch of basic women online who can make themselves look attractive and get clicks, and they all have followers with a K after their name on Instagram, right? 10K, 20K, 100K. 800K, right? And the ones at the highest get millions, right? They're good at it. No doubt they're good at it. I often can't distinguish them. I'll look at a profile and see it's got 30K, and I'll look at a profile with 5,000, and I'll say, why does one have 5,000 and one have 30K? These are the same person. You know, this, now you get into the whole idea of paying, right? You pay to get placed in different places in the algorithm. Now we see how these people make money off of us. One of the ways they make money off of us, the more engagement you have, the more you pay them. Right? You see that? The point being, though, when guys look at those profiles, they feel like that's posted just for them. That's what triggers in their brain. That's the natural psychological reaction. Oh, shit, she sent this picture to me. Did she? No. Does she know that's what she's doing? I think some do, some don't. But regardless, that's the effect. Oh, that was posted just for me. Oh, and then they feel like they have this relationship with them. You know, this gets worse when they interact with them, right? When they have a Twitch channel or something. You know, there's a benevolent way of doing this, you know, with a podcast, right? It's the idea that you can establish a relationship. But I talk to people. I'm friends with people who've listened to this show. I mean, one of the Midsiders, somebody I met through the Midside, is going to be one of the groomsmen in my wedding. Other ones are invited to my wedding, who I met through that. I made real connections, right? You know, and there's a difference between being a listener, right? But when you're a listener on the radio, you're aware that it's not just for you. And I think even podcasting is different in that way. I'm not sure if YouTube is. I think, like, the YouTube things I've seen where you can see the whole chat going on, I think that's different. As someone who's been on the internet since the 90s where you had chat rooms in AOL, I think chat rooms are different. I think there's a problem. You know, I used to hang out in AOL chat rooms. They had the young adult chat room. We used to say new young adult because they stopped calling it teen, so they call it young adult. And then you had the same people in there over and over again, and they were the ones who everyone talked to. At that point, it then became all about them. And, you know, message boards had it too, where it was the same people. It was about just them. And I experienced that. I was banned from message boards. I remember fucking a Lost message board where this guy tried to argue on the show Lost, where they intentionally showed that you couldn't tell what direction what was in because compasses, they were just spinning in a circle. Tried to claim that when the Islamic character Saeed, who is a great character, was praying in a direction, he was praying towards Mecca, so that told us things about the show. And I told him he was reading religion into the show when it wasn't there. I got banned for that. So this whole ban hammer thing's been around forever. But on these message boards, in these chat rooms, you at least had the feeling that there were more people there. Right? Or maybe it's just it was the beginning. And I think there's something different when you see multiple people talking on a screen. And people in the chat. Or maybe it's because I'm specifically thinking about Film Junkie and my experience with that. I think it's when it's obvious it's a show and you're not involved with it. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about. But I'm thinking about, like, when I met Zack Snyder versus when I interact with him in real life. Like, when I interacted him in real life, I felt more of a connection with him. Like, I felt more of a kindred spirit. Now, when other people watched it, they told me they watched when I talked to Zack Snyder on Film Junkie's show that he enjoyed talking to me. But it doesn't feel as real to me. Like, that experience of actually talking to him in real life felt, it was more impactful on me than the, like, I don't reflect on the experience. It didn't shape me in the same way. Talking to him on Film Junkie Show didn't shape me in the same way talking to him in real life shaped me. But that returns to my point. All this social media makes it feel like it's for all of us. And when you talk about Twitter, that's where I was going with all this. And I see this in the Zack Snyder fandom, right? I told you this would all come full circle, right? Somebody says something negative about Zack Snyder. Everyone in the Zack Snyder fandom will reply to it as if it was for them. And I'm not saying not to reply to it because it's a public forum. It is a public forum, so reply to it. But I'm saying they always do. They always do. As if it was posted just for them to read. Maybe they weren't the audience for it. Maybe you're not the audience for it. And that's the weird thing about Twitter and the weird thing about social media. You have all of these social circles and interest circles and value circles that would not overlap, overlapping and seeing each other. You think these people who hated Zack Snyder wouldn't exist offline? I'm sure they would. But it's sort of like the comic book guy in Simpsons, right? Imagine the comic book guy in Simpsons without Movie Poop Shoot, that's a Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back reference, to post on, without Ain't It Cool News to post on. People used to make fun of that character type, right? There's lots of characters on different shows and movies who that makes fun of. That wouldn't be a big deal, but people make it a big deal. And then these things get resonated and they grow more important than they are because more people put on this performative nature. So hating Zack Snyder becomes a performative thing, just like liking Zack Snyder becomes a performative thing. And you say you're a Zack Snyder fan or you say you're a Zack Snyder hater. And then we all become brands. And that's the real thing. That's the real thing. And this is where I talk about the local versus the digital. That's the real thing. Is we all feel the need to put our opinions on the internet because we feel like it's for us. We feel like these platforms are for us. And don't get me wrong, your account is for you. Your device is for you, right? That's my iPhone. No doubt. That's my TV. But, and I really do, I think it has to do with the fact that the less interaction, the more I think about, like when I think about a TV, comparing it to Film Junkie's vodka stream, it's the less interaction. Because when you're in a group text and you respond to people, they'll respond back or they'll react back. And you can, now I understand the like feature. Because the like feature makes it so you can interact with something that has nothing to fucking do with you. In Twitter, you can reply to something that has nothing to do with you. Right? So if you're in a group text and everybody's talking to you, or they're ignoring you, you can just go through and like everything. As if anyone gives a fuck. Like you're reading a group text and somebody's like, oh, yeah, I went to Outback last night, and you just like it. I don't give a fuck that Steve likes that I went to Outback. Who the fuck? Why, Steve, why do you think you had to tell me you like that as if it fucking mattered? So, yeah, I think it has to do with the interactivity of it makes it feel like it's more just for us. Because, you know, that's my TV, but I don't feel like that everything is on that TV is just for me. Like when I'm watching WWE, right, when I'm watching SmackDown or watching AEW, right, when I'm watching Dynamite, I'm not like, oh, yeah, this entire show is just for me. I put that on just for me, right? And when I'm watching a YouTube video, like when I'm watching Simon Miller from What Culture gives his ups and downs for SmackDown or for AEW Dynamite, I'm not like, oh yeah, Simon made this just for me. Right? But for some reason, it's different on social media. It's different on social media. So we let this thing become real that isn't. And we let this idea of all of this being real that isn't. And we let the conversation be controlled. And we let it be controlled because we think this thing is such a value to us. And we don't ask because these companies can regulate what's on it, should they? And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying what are the standards? Right, let's take the whole, you know, drug and alcohol thing, or let's say alcohol, right? Because drugs are bad, okay? I don't drink. I will never drink. I think it's bad. But people who have a principled stance on alcohol, I don't have a problem with. What are they using it for? How much are they having? Right? I know people who like the word that's coming to my head is IPA, but that's not the type of beer. Or craft beers. I know people who like craft beers, right? That's fine. I have no problem with that. They want to have a drink or two. Okay. That makes sense to me, right? Daniel's wife, I follow her on Instagram and she's posting about cocktails all the time and stuff. She's not doing it in like a classless way, right? It's not like, oh, fuck, look how fucking drunk I am, right? She's doing it in a way it's weird. It's like, it's weird for me to ever have said these words, but it's like life affirming the way she does it. It's like, this is a value I have and something I enjoy. Like, and it's mixed in with stuff about her family and her life and her friends. And she's supporting other people, right? She's sharing stuff from other people. So, you know, there's a way you can handle alcohol that isn't just cause you can drink it. You do. It's the same thing because they can regulate who's on these platforms, should they? And because you can post things, should you? So I don't have the same emotional reaction to the idea of these social media platforms being regulated or nationalized. Nationalized is scarier to me. Regulated, not so much. Because I don't think people getting off of these platforms, which is what I think the inevitable outcome would be necessarily a bad thing. Because I think we need to have the conversation of how do we shun people? How do we ostracize people? How do we decide what we accept in society and what we don't? We used to have a set of shared principles and values, but we don't seem to have those anymore. And I think that's the real conversation we need to be having, because that's where I think it starts. I think everything starts with what you're willing to accept in your immediate, real concrete life. I think we've lost track of that because, especially in the lockdown, the digital life feels like our digital life feels like our real life, but it's not. As someone who goes to school, I get there at 7 a.m. and I leave at 6 p.m. every day. And then I go to the gym, right? And the people who are real to me are the people I'm around every day. I'm not primarily concerned with the digital space. It augments my life, but I'm not primarily concerned with it. I think so many of us are primarily concerned with it, and it makes it feel like everything's for us. And we're letting the conversation be controlled, where we're like, oh yeah, if that guy's a dick, it must be a dick. Because what's real to us is the conversation. What's real to us is the conversation now, and not what the conversation helps us accomplish. All right, I think I'm satisfied. I feel good. I feel good with everything I've said. Let me just sum it up. With that graphic where it says, you know, if you were banned from Twitter or Facebook, you were probably being a dick. And what does it say? Suck it up? Yeah, suck it up. No, you might not have been. And I'll give you one final story, okay? I am banned from the Funko Pop subreddit. You may ask, Justin, why are you banned from the Funko Pop subreddit? Well, because I was pissed off and I was defending myself. So one of the Funko Pop collections I am most proud of is my Zack Snyder Funko Pop collection. I have every Zack Snyder Funko Pop, except there's a gold Wonder Woman where 400 of them were given to Hot Topic employees for their success one year. So it's one of the Wonder Woman pops from a Zack Snyder movie. They just painted it gold and they gave it out as a gift to those employees. So technically it's a variant, so it's not a huge deal. If I could get it one day, that would be amazing. If not, I still consider my collection complete. But I completed it and I posted my picture to the subreddit because there's a collections tag you can put on there. And I was super excited, like, here's my collection because it's a value I have. And then someone replied, you know, that's pretty cool. Too bad he's a terrible director. This is exactly what I mean about everybody thinks that it's for them to say whatever they want to. If somebody came to you and they like showed you something they made and you hated it, would you be a dick in real life? Like if they're right in front of you? Or if, you know, let me put it this way. If you're walking through like a collection day at school, this is something we had in like second grade, and somebody had a collection you didn't like, would you be like, oh yeah, fuck you, I hate your collection? Or, oh wow, you have a lot of stuff. And, you know, I had, you know, all the Ghostbuster stuff, so we'll just use that example. I had, like, the firehouse and the Ecto-1 and all the different ghosts and shit. If somebody came up to me and was like, oh wow, you have a lot of stuff, that's cool, but too bad Ghostbuster sucks, everybody would be like, why are you being a dick? But now if the person responds, right? Sorry for the cough. If the person responds and fights back and then gets banned, it's like, why'd you punch that person in the face? You're banned. Well, you were probably being a dick because you punched them. That's the point we're at now. It was the same thing on the subreddit, right? So what I did was I just started going into a bunch of other posts. People were posting stuff that they made or they had. And I would just be like, give my opinion on it. Oh yeah, that's cool, but you know, I don't really like that property very much. Oh, that's cool, but I didn't like the third act. Oh, that's cool, but, you know, that character had a line of dialogue I didn't like. You know what happened? I got banned. They told me I got banned for trolling. But I thought that was how I could use the message board. I thought that was the purpose of it. I thought that was what I could do. Because we have these standards of who is acceptable to talk about and who isn't. Because we're letting the conversation be controlled in that way. Because we're not standing up in that way. We're not standing up and asking what should be okay and what shouldn't. We're saying they can do it, so they should, right? Reddit's a perfect example. Well, the moderators can do that, so that's fine. Oh, you got banned? You must have been being a dick. Why wasn't the other guy being a dick? I reported him. Nothing happened. Oh, he's allowed to do that. Why is he allowed to do that, and I'm not? That's always been my big problem with the internet, and it's coming to a head because we've made it real in our entire society because we've decided to live on these platforms. And that's why I don't really have a problem Or let me say that. I do have a problem. I think it's bad. I think it sets a bad legal precedent. I think it sets a bad principled precedent. But philosophically, right, and this is why, and this is, okay, I didn't mention this before, so really quickly, it's why I don't really like libertarians, right? The idea that, oh, you can't do it, just everyone fucking do everything. And that's why I liked objectivists, right? That's why I like objectivism, I mean. It's the idea that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. You have to decide for yourself what works for you and what's good to do and what you should do and what you shouldn't do, right? That doesn't mean what you should and shouldn't do applies to everyone, but I like that objectivism is a philosophy that asks you to think about what you should do. Not just what you can do, but what you should do. Every other philosophy is the people in power tell you what you can do or what you can't do. Right? John Locke from Lost. There's a lot of Lost in this episode. Don't tell me what I can't do. Right? That's John Locke, the American experiment. Don't tell me what I can't do. Right? I get to tell myself what I can't do. Right? That's the American experiment. That's why John Locke was such a great character on Lost. That's such a great catchphrase. Don't tell me what I can't do. Right? Every philosophy has been about that. Every ruling system. But objectivism is about what you should do. So, yeah, that's why ultimately I wouldn't be that emotionally worried about these companies being regulated. You know, nationalize is a bit more of a problem, but being regulated, because if we retreat to the local spheres, this is the conversation we need to be having. Why are we allowing it to be decided who's allowed to say things and who's not, both based upon anyone who, the spectrum, right? Remember I said there's a spectrum, and like if you're outside it, you're the weirdo? Well, the spectrum's getting smaller, and anyone outside of it, they give bad names to it. And that's what's really being used to control social media. That's what's really being used to control our lives. That's how Joe Biden got elected president. Right? That's how Donald Trump was, right? They were fighting back against that. People thought they were fighting back against that. All right, I think that's where I'm going to end this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to my fake ending and my real ending. As always, I appreciate it. If you enjoy the show, tell a friend. You can check out my book. It's at themidside.com/thecut. If you want to read my novel, I would appreciate that greatly. And as always, you can support us on Patreon per episode or locals per month. themidside.com/Patreon or themidside.com/locals. This concludes your journey into the Midside. I'm Justin Emblesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce. I'm Justin Emblesneski reminding you. Oh, wait, sorry.